This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being one of our great sponsors. It is getting into golf season, and Crestview has 36 holes that you can play on. It's one of the great parts of their memberships. You can go out to the North Course where they play the Wichita Open. You can go out to the South Course. There are bits and pieces of both that I really enjoy. And then when you're done playing, you can head into the bar, have a beer, have some food. It's a great way to spend a summer day. They've also got a really nice pool that they're renovating. I can't believe they're renovating the pool. They're upgrading what already is the best pool in town, Tommy. So give them a call. Again, we're working on some really cool things to do with you at Crestview, give you opportunities to get out there, maybe check out the club, the golf, all those things. We appreciate their support here on Sports Daily. We come back in. We've been talking Wichita State in the portal. We can sort of put a bow on that. We got into Harlan Obioha, and it's hard for me, Tommy, to like get into specific players before they come. He's interesting, of course, because he's from Kansas. We just saw him here at the NCAA tournament. He was an incredible high school story out at Hoxie, playing offensive line at the same time. He tantalizes, and he's the kind of player where, as we continue the discussion we were having, where if you're Wichita State, I truly believe that Wichita State will be able to offer him as good an opportunity as any school in the country if he's looking to take up a step. You could not walk into a more cherry-picked opportunity for a center than at Wichita State, outside of what Kansas is looking for, potentially, and he's not going to Kansas. So, like, of the range of schools, like, this is opportunity-wise the best one. The question becomes, what about the NIL piece of it, right? Because geography's in Wichita State's favor, but what if, you know, let's use one of the other schools as an example that John Rothstein put it out. And this has been a while since this came out. But, you know, Texas, Cincinnati, some of the other schools. Can Wichita State match the NIL of a non-prioritized, let's call it, player for some of these bigger schools? And that's what makes this all really hard, is because we don't have a good understanding of where Wichita State sits in that world. And that's not the case for every school, right? Like, we know Memphis sits pretty in NIL. They go and get everybody's players every year, right? We know that about them. I don't think we know currently, other than it's better than it was 2 or 3 years ago, where exactly Wichita State sits in that world and how that compares to the peers around them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's partially about Wichita State. It's partially about how much money they have to work with that we don't know. But then, to your point, we also don't know what a lot of other schools have either. We do know kind of a general idea, you know, with some of the high major programs. Usually that sort of thing comes out when a coach, you know, goes to a new school and part of their package is announced that, you know, the school's made a commitment with X amount of dollars in NIL. I know the Chris Beard situation that we talked about last hour with Ole Miss, like they committed at a larger level to NIL dollars. So like we have a general idea with some programs, but one thing that I would love to see changed in general is transparency and openness with every school. Like everybody knows what each school has to spend, and that's open because then, you know, like there are a lot of people, like myself included, I love looking at, you know, the NFL. We do it all the time with the Chiefs, and we try to play accountant a little bit, you know, and like we're game planning, sure. Like how close are they to the cap and what moves can they make and who can they go and get? Who's garnering what kind of, you know, money from the market and that sort of thing. We're able to play that game. Whether or not it comes to fruition, who knows? Like that's not up to us, but at least we have a general understanding of that. We don't have any of that in college basketball or college athletics in general. We can't go through that exercise as fans and speculate what these programs have to spend for the most part, because it's not transparent. It's not out in the open. We don't know. It's not like you can go through and you can like find the budget and find
there's
what
not
each,
a salary cap,
right. And right, find yeah. out like what each player is making. And I would love to see that changed.
I don't know if it will, because I think it can change on the fly, right? You might have somebody in the crosshairs that you can go to a donor and be like, yo, we got to come up with this XYZ, and they come up with it. So I think that's pretty impossible. I do think we could learn more about a baseline, but honestly, I think you just have to use the evidence that's in front of your face, right? Wichita State continues to lose too many players for me to think that it's where it ultimately needs to be. Getting it there. And I think that's got to be a part of the evaluation. And it's why, like, let's say evaluating the job Kevin Saul's done as the athletic director, it's really hard now, because I would have told you when he was hired, the greatest challenge he faced would be to get NIL where it needs to be competitive. And I think
that was, I mean, when he took the job, I believe that that was,
and I think that they, and I think that he has like, I think it's significantly better than where it was. Now, if you're looking at it at the successes of the coaches he's hired, that's not as good. Right. And so I think that makes it difficult to evaluate everything, but honestly, like you feel good about the job he's done if that has improved a great deal. And I think it has.
But we don't know that.
At least from where it was. I mean, now, is it where it yeah. needs to be? No.
I think we can be very vague and general in that, you know, and say it's better than it was. Okay, well, but did we really even know where it was? Like, it was bad. We know it was really bad.
I do. I think I've had enough conversations behind the scenes that I know where it was, which was almost non-existent. Tommy, I have been told by people that would know, right? Like that, like enough that because I don't like to do that. I don't like to come out here and be like, well, you know, I was talking to Joe Schmo down at Dino's and he told me no. Like I've been told by people that actually would know that it was bad enough, but pre the current administration, like they couldn't even come up with a couple of thousand dollars to throw at dudes to keep. Like it was bad. It basically just like it didn't exist. Right.
Well, because I mean, if you remember, like that was a huge reason why Darren Boatwright ultimately lost his job, because it wasn't just that they weren't proactive in it. They were resistant to it. Like that administration was, I remember, adversarial about NIL. Like they did not want it to be a part of the game when that was where everything was moving. And it's not like they could have stopped it. So it was almost like get on board or get off the ship. And ultimately he had to get off the ship.
And I think there's a reason so many schools. I saw Trey Young is going to go be the GM for Oklahoma. Like, there's a reason that's happening. And honestly, it's not a bad. I don't think it's a bad idea to get some help there, because these administrators already have enough to do, right? Like, let's use Wichita State as an example. Like, you're trying to upgrade softball facilities. You're trying to evaluate and hire coaches. You're trying to make sure kids are in compliance. You're trying to make sure all the other programs are taken care of and successful, as your newly launched bowling team is having a tremendous amount of success. But at the same time, you're expected to manage this other thing. Like, I get why some places are bringing people in to help with that. And usually it's not like an NFL GM. It's basically somebody who can get people fired up to give the university their money. And so again, like when we, the, The problem for the Shockers is we need immediate growth, but it had gotten to the place, unfortunately, where there has been a long road. Now, the success has to translate on the court, and they can't continue to lose all their players. But if they are able to come in and put a collection of players together, and maybe that's the best way we can evaluate it, is say, well, who else was in on this guy? Like, who else was in on Boyd, right? If they got somebody like Obi Oha, we know a lot of people are in on him. Like, if they're winning players that are up, I think that is a great sign, big picture. And I'm very impatient with this, but I do think that's a great sign to know that they're able to be competitive for that kind of player. They're still not to the top level where I think they need to be and can be, but at least they are in the middle level, which is kind of where they're stuck right now.
Yeah, and I think that knowing what Obi Oha did for UNC Wilmington this last season, I mean, he was one of the key factors, at least, for that team making it to the NCAA tournament and, you know, being able to lead them offensively, great rebounder, great blocked shot player, like all of the different things that he brings. There's no surprise at all that he is garnering a ton of attention from high major programs, from other NCAA tournament teams that are Power Four teams that want him to basically fill that same kind of role for their program. So to your point, you know, if he ends up choosing Wichita State for whatever reason, maybe it's just as simple as I want to be closer to home. Who knows? But if he ends up choosing Wichita State over these other programs, yeah, I think that that's a feather in the cap that you end up then going to other guys and being like, look who we were able to get as our cornerstone signee of this transfer portal period.
There's two pieces. Can you get those players? That's the first part. Can those players be successful on the court? That's the second part. Two totally different things, right? We're not like winning basketball games is a discussion we had yesterday about Corey Washington. Now we're having a discussion about just being able to be at the table. Like, I think you can totally separate those things to make your evaluations, as impossible as it is. And again, I do think this gets better in a few years, but right now this is what we deal with. So it's the playing field everybody is playing on. We're going to come right back. More Sports Daily. Tim Fitzgerald, he'll catch us up on K-State in the portal later this hour. Stick around.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. If you're on your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily, even after you park the car, with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app. Visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. Welcome back in. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Max Power producing for us. Rick chimes in on YouTube and says, is anyone monitoring academics? The majority of these kids aren't going to classes.
No, nobody, nobody's monitoring. I mean, I'm sure somebody is, but nobody cares.
Yes, they are. Like,
but nobody cares.
What information do you have that tells you none of these kids are going to class? Because I think that's totally bogus. Yes, they are. If they're not, that's a problem, but I don't think that it's true. It might have been at other times, but I don't think it's true right
but
now.
But do we care? Does anybody care? I don't care. I've never cared. I literally have never been like, as I'm watching a college basketball game, been like, man.
No, I don't care,
man,
when I'm watching a college basketball game.
Man, I really, really, really hope that Quincy Ballard is doing well in his geography class. Like, I don't care. Nobody cares.
I fundamentally care.
Sure. But holistically, I don't care.
Specifically care.
Right.
About X, Y, or Z, because there have been great athletes not going to class since the beginning of time.
Right.
Right. Like it's, you know, whatever, like nothing's changed in that regard. Like, yeah, I want kids to go to class. And I think that, you know, the current administration, Kevin Saul, I think they have gotten a lot of that in a really good place from what I've heard and can tell. And I think they deserve credit for that. That's the part of the job, though, that the public is like, yeah, whatever. Are you winning games? You know what I mean? Like, I think you have to. But we all have that, right? Like, we all have the parts of our jobs that are important that nobody really cares about. Right. But they're still important. So it's still important that it's happening and that it's being monitored. It's just that the public doesn't really care. Like, we want to know if you're winning basketball games.
So yeah.
I thought that was a funny comment from Rick. We always appreciate Rick's comments. Rick is definitely old school.
He's the embodiment of old man shouting at clouds. Like, that's.
Well, he's just old school. I think there are a lot of people that are frustrated with what we're dealing with. I mean, we have the Final Four coming up in 2 days. We have not talked in a week about the basketball of the Final Four, because you're caught trying to keep up with the tornado that's happening through the transfer portal. Now, again, begs the point, why the hell do we open the portal officially before the games are played? That's nonsensical. Wait another week or 2 weeks, I guess it would be in this regard. Like, just wait a minute and then open it. Conversations are obviously going to happen with representatives. That's been happening for a long time, though. They've already been happening. And you know, again, like, the solution here is to make penalties that can stick, and you can't really do that until you create contracts. But the tampering in the NFL is a big deal. It's legitimate. Like, they don't, you know, the penalties are real. So fix it if you want to, but it is annoying that we've got basketball coming up and we don't do that. I was thinking about this with some of the players, like with Houston, you know, with Auburn, because Broome has been there now for a long time. Like, I don't like that we act like there's no loyalty or consistency in college basketball, because there absolutely is. I don't know as much about Florida's roster because they're kind of new to this, right? And Duke obviously has littered themselves with young stars. That's always been the way Duke's done it, though. And like, if you look at Houston specifically and Auburn's best player, Johnny Broome, he's been there since like 2022.
Well, yeah. And how long, right? By the way, has Tyrese Proctor been at Duke? I mean, he's been there for a long time.
So like, I think that sometimes, like, we get lost in the chaos of it. Like, everybody has to hard reset all the time. Kansas just retained too much, by what the critics would tell you, right? Kansas State right now, we'll talk to Tim Fitzgerald in about 20 minutes. They haven't really done anything yet. I don't like the narrative that there's no retention happening. The Shockers basically retained their entire team last year. You can get caught up in it. I think the Shockers might be a little more frustrated if they continue to lose their like star players. But there is plenty of loyalty and retention still happening in college sports. Avery Johnson has probably been, his door has probably been knocked on, I would guess, with insane offers and crazy things. He's staying at Kansas State. He just launched a drink that's apparently flying off the shelves, right? Like, it's not all bad. It's just some bad. And if you get caught up in it, as the Shockers, for example, are right now, it's overwhelming as a fan. It's impossible to keep up with as a fan. That's the problem. But I would tell you this, when Wichita State started heating up, guess what happened? They started to put a whole lot more butts in the seats, right? Like, we weren't at that point, you know, going into that Memphis game, it wasn't like, you're sitting there as a fan, you're watching these games, and you're thinking, yeah, you know, they might have a chance to beat Memphis at home and get that big win, but gosh, they've had so much movement the last few years in the transfer portal. I'm just not going to.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
No, you had a big-time program coming in that, based on what you'd been seeing, you were like, they got a shot to beat them. We got to get to that game, and they did. And it was so, Like, it still all comes down to winning.
Well, right. And I think it oversimplifies it a little bit. But, I mean, it's true that winning cures all ailments. Nobody's thinking about anything else when a team is winning, right? There's no, like, well, I wonder what their NIL budget is compared to everybody else. Or I wonder how many players are going to be in the portal this year. If you're winning games consistently, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as much because, you know, you can easily put on the blinders and just say this team is winning basketball games. And so that's ultimately I know it's oversimplifying it, but that is the benchmark. Like that's like, it doesn't matter necessarily how you get there. There are 1,000 different ways to skin a cat.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there. And this probably isn't, I know this isn't ideal, but is anybody going to complain if Wichita State turns over their roster every single year, but they win every single year? Absolutely not. That's probably less realistic than the alternative.
But if it happens, right? That won't happen. If they get really good, they're not going to turn over their roster. A part of the reason they're turning over their roster is because they just finished eighth in the American, right? Again, use the FAU example. How many players, Tommy, did they lose the year after they went to the Final Four?
None, I believe.
At least of the key guys.
Yeah, none.
They all came back, right? So winning does cure everything. You will not lose all your players if you are winning because the players want to be there. So again, get there. Look at the players that are in the Final Four that have been where they are for a long time. Are there hired hands essentially like LJ Cryer? Sure there are, right? But if you look up and down Houston's roster, there's a whole lot more guys that have put and I'm
Jawan
not talking
Roberts
even just,
and Emmanuel yeah, Sharp and like these guys have been around. Yeah.
Yeah. Houston's been a program builder. They have been good because they've kept so many players for so many years and they're so consistent. So again, like let's not look at the situation for more than what it is. And it is the situation. And when we talk about the Shockers, it has not been successful enough. When we talk about KU, it's hard to say KU is the hardest one to evaluate, right? Because KU won a national championship in the transfer portal era. Remy Martin was a transfer portal guy, right? They won a national championship. The next year, they followed it up and went and got the best player out of the portal, put him with some pieces of the national championship team, and it didn't work. Okay. Or was that the next year? 2 years later.
You know who else?
2 years later.
You know who else was a transfer portal piece? Kevin McCullough was a transfer portal guy for the Jayhawks.
Another key guy on
and became
team.
A key, like, foundational piece that, you know, especially that final year that he was with the Jayhawks, they had to have him on the floor. Like, when he was hurt and injured a season ago and didn't play down the stretch, that was when the Jayhawks fell off a cliff.
Wait, who did they? Did they get any? I'm just looking. Did they get any portal guys Grady Dixier? Let's just look real quick because those were obviously really good players. All right. So they got Dickinson the year after Dick. Let's just look at this roster. Sometimes it's hard. So Yesifu was a transfer portal guy. He was on that team. He was the big one. Was there another one on that team? Uday? No, they had a bunch of young players. Yeah. So that Yesifu was the guy, and he was a big time. We remember him from what he did. So like KU goes and does this 1 year, they win a national championship. Right. And then a couple years later, they go put this roster together and it's been kind of, but it wasn't good enough. So now it's like, okay, now they start over and we'll see. K-State. You can't say you hate the portal. They went to an Elite Eight by bringing in a portal guy, right? Keontae. So, like, it's not, like, there's no one way to anything. You just have to get it right. I think what will change a little bit is, like, Kansas isn't going to win 13 straight Big 12 championships again. Teams aren't doing that anymore, right? That won't happen. Kansas won't be, how many ever years they had a one or a two seed, whatever that was, like that won't happen again. Auburn's not going to be a one seed every year. Houston's not going to be, although they've probably been the most consistent, but Duke's not, like, that stuff will roll over more frequently than it used to. But isn't that what we wanted? Like, as a fan, like, do you want to see, like, that's the problem football has and has had for years and years and years. As you go into every football season and it's like, man, there are three teams that could win a national championship this year. And that's probably it. And honestly, we don't vary from that very often ever in football. So in basketball, if we get this scenario where it really is a crapshoot coming into most, Kansas was a preseason number one, right? No, not even close. So I do want to appreciate for a minute the diversity we have created in college basketball to some degree. As frustrating as it is, and I don't love the portal. I don't. That's not what I'm saying. Just saying, like, we ask that it gets different and not the same teams don't win all the time and all these things. And then we get it and we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What is this? Like, could you imagine in football if we had the kind of like wild, crazy nature in the CFP as we have in college basketball? That'd be insane.
And, I may be in the minority and that it's okay if I am, but I actually prefer the Final Four this year. I actually like the chalkiness of it because
I like it for this year.
These are the top four teams in the country and I want to see them, compete to win a national championship. I'm more, at least for me only, I'm more invested in these two games coming up on Saturday than I would have been the year of FAU and San Diego State. I mean, like that's just the way that I'm built where it's like, I've been watching these teams all season long. I've not been watching San Diego State all season long. I've not been watching FAU. I have been watching Houston. I have been watching Duke. These teams can win a national championship. They're the best in the country. And I want to see them compete against each other for the right to go to a national championship. Like, I'm more invested and excited about that than I am in years when we've got 5, 6, 8, 10 seeds that are making it all the way to the Final Four.
So let's just a second look at that. So the ones that season, right? Kansas was a one that year that you're talking about where you had the wild and crazy Final Four. I think obviously Kansas fans are disappointed in that, but that wasn't like a dominant, no doubt about it, Kansas team. I don't think Purdue was a one. Meh. I mean, they had Edie, but Edie doesn't translate. Big guys like that don't really. Houston was a one that year, and Alabama was that juggernaut offense one. But I think, like, if we look at that season, it was different than this season. Like, and we've talked about it a million times. Like, there has been a collection of great teams this year that was hard to sort through. And if you go back, and I'm with you in that I like it for this year, I wouldn't like it in all years if all the ones made it. But this year, these four teams particularly, and I brought this up and one of the national guys uses KenPom, they're four of the top 10
all time
KenPom teams. All time.
These are historically great and elite programs, historically, that are playing.
Well, they're historically great individual teams.
Right.
Like, if you even take, like, the pro, like, just for what they've accomplished this year and what the numbers tell us about them, they're four of the top 10 ever that have, by the numbers, that have played college basketball. We've sort of been on this collision course all year. Right? Like, these have been whichever way you wanted to stack them for, and it took us longer to get there with Florida, but the numbers don't lie with how good Florida is. We were there all year with Houston and Auburn, right? And then Duke had a bunch of young players, so they sort of grew into themselves, but it became pretty apparent probably longer ago than any of us wanted to admit because it's Duke that this is a really, really good Duke team. So, like, it shouldn't surprise us that this is the year the ones all made it through. A bunch of these players are not going to be in college basketball next year. And I would bet a whole bunch of money that we don't get another year where four number ones make it into the Final Four. So I'm with you. Let's enjoy this one because it is unique in how good these four teams happen to be. And we'll dig into the games more specifically tomorrow. But you have tight lines in both games, right? Like neither game is a big line. Auburn's a slight dog. Houston's a slight dog. I think we are in for, like, if you're a basketball junkie, watching Duke and Houston match up is going to be fascinating. Has Duke played anybody that's going to bang on them like Houston is? A team full of linebackers that happen to play basketball? No. How does that work? Is Flag just so good that it doesn't matter? Maybe. There's a pretty good chance of that. But can they keep up with the way Houston's going to beat them up a little bit? I don't think they've faced anything like that yet this year.
Yeah.
And they just made it through a bracket, Tommy, where all the good teams in their bracket were all high-octane offensive
totally.
Teams.
Totally. You know, and the thing about Duke and Flag specifically is just the overall stupid athleticism that Flag has. And, you know, just what he's able to do when he's got the basketball in his hands, creating shots and getting to the rim, and just in the efficiency in which he does that. I mean, it's of course elite. And that's, there's a reason why he's the best player in college basketball. There's a reason why he's an NBA guy, all of that. You've got now the nation's best defense, and their task is to try to stop him for 40 minutes of basketball. And it's going to be the biggest challenge that Houston has had this entire season. But if anybody can do it, it's the number one defense in the country. I mentioned this on Monday. Yeah, you've got Auburn and Florida. That's going to be a fun game. I'm excited about that one too. But that, for me, that's the appetizer. I mean, it's Duke and Houston.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thanks for listening to us on KFH. If you're watching us in our video streams, not only did I jump Fitz's intro there, but you, like me, are distracted by the kissing sounds of Fitz making out with his dog. I was like, what is that sound? Then I look, I was like, oh, that's Fitz in his pup. Hey, Fitz, how are you?
Oh, good. She's demanding a lot of attention right now.
Yeah, women do. Hey, that's what they tend to do it. Publisher, gopowercat.com. That's Daphne, correct?
Yeah, that's Daphne.
Hey, Daphne. Fitz has us covered. Look, we said this yesterday to Tria Slaughter, KU Insider. Like, I'm so glad we have you guys, because following the portal is an impossible task.
I can't do it.
It is actually, though, but you have guys that can.
Yeah.
It has been easier for K-State than we thought, because they don't have anybody in, right? Have I missed anything? Has anybody jumped in yet?
No, it's bizarre because we expect a couple guys to go. We thought maybe they were waiting for the start of April due to NIL payment schedules. So we're a little baffled. Maybe they don't get paid on the first. Maybe it's later. I'm not sure what's going on. But K-State's got a lot of activity in the portal. You know, that kind of is it a meaningful contact activity? Is Zooming with someone now considered – enough to get them to commit to you? I don't know that there's that going on. Let's take it to another level. We're not even sure who the assistant coaches are right now. We think Jareem Dowling's with them, but we're not sure about anyone else. This is a strange phase of K-State basketball right now. And I think it'll only last, you know, a little while until we start getting some answers.
You know, I was thinking about it the other day as it relates to historically with Jerome Tang and how he's worked the portal before. I don't know, and maybe I'm like not thinking about other programs that, you know, could come to mind, but I don't know if there's another coach in America that has been as active late in the portal cycle as Jerome Tang has been. I mean, that kind of seems to be where he's lived anyway. So I would imagine that, you know, even though there hasn't been any movement right now so far in this cycle, you know, he's a coach that has kind of thrived towards the very end of the recruiting cycle.
And it hasn't always worked. He kind of struck out a little bit 2 years ago. Of course, he got Keontae Johnson, which I think caused this, to be real blunt. A belief that, hey, I found Keontae Johnson late in the portal. There's guys out there. Well, I think he was a little bit rarer than maybe thought. So they've got to be careful, because you get late in the schedule. You not only lessen the number of prospects available, but the competitive bidding war, so to speak, gets more hyper as coaches and NILs packet NIL givers start to panic that they've got these roster holes to fill. And I think that's what happened with how much they paid last year in the portal for Hawkins. Yeah.
What if though, like I makes me wonder, is there a possible good news scenario here in that maybe guys don't want to leave. Maybe everybody does want to come back. And now your portal shopping is really just kind of for like one or two spots. I mean, they're big ones. Coleman Hawkins and David Gasson were probably the two most meaningful contributors to this basketball team. But that looks a lot better, I think, than having to find six guys. So, like, is there a positive potentially to the lack of movement yet?
Yeah, I think they're going to retain quite a number of guys. I think we're going to see maybe two, you know, by the end, maybe three. You know, the other effect of the portal is you go get guys and guys in your roster go, I don't like that. And then they hop in the portal. So you kind of can have dominoes going. And they've got some interest in some guards, which, you know, they're kind of guard heavy right now. So how will that impact the team? They really do need to find some big people. And it's just hard to know what is actually the point of the decision making coming for the player. That's the great unknown in the portal. Are they going to make their mind up on the visit? Are they really going to take all their visits? Are they going to wait another week? You know, you just don't know when a kid's going to pull the trigger.
If you were ranking the importance of guys that could come back to Kansas State, who do you put at the top? Is it Doug McDaniel? Is it somebody else? Yeah.
From an X's and O's, probably. Yeah. Doug is a catalyst. He really grew into the job. I think he grew as a player and a person last year. I think that's kind of an unknown, untold story that maybe I need to revisit a little bit. He kind of was putting himself on the outside of the program with some of his actions, and he became, in some ways, the heart and soul of the program. So I think it's kind of a neat story. But, yeah, he's probably the most important piece, and that's kind of the issue. As you mentioned, the two pieces that the most significant pieces that they lost were really important pieces to the team and how it was structured. So they've got to replace those guys.
How quickly and how much better do you think they can be next year? Let's say it starts with Doug McDaniel. They go and find a couple of players. We'll see what happens with the rest of these guys, but is it reasonable to set an expectation if they do have some of that kind of retention where it's sort of tournament or bust, like they better be back in the NCAA tournament? That seems fair to me when we see seven or eight teams out of the Big 12 go.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would, if you're Jerome Tang, you're hoping that their retention means growth as individual players and as a team. And then you can plug in some guys. And that's really where he kind of went astray. He didn't leave himself any structure in which to plug in the new players. He had to rebuild that structure every season. And this now will enable him to kind of have a framework of a team in which these players will fit. And I think that's a much better plan, but we'll see how it plays out.
I want to dial in, Fitz, to something you mentioned a couple of moments ago. I guess I've missed all the chatter about the assistant coaches. What's going on there? You said Dream Dowling might be with the program. Like what's happening with the assistant coaches?
It's a confusing mess. We don't know. We believe Rodney Perry is leaving. I mean, there's strong evidence of that. Yurik Maligi's got interest coming from Texas where he's previously been, but it's a different staff. You know, it's just that the coaching portal's open right now, you know, too, that's another layer here. And, the fact that we haven't heard about this movement, I guess if you're Jerome Tang, you don't want any negative news out as you're trying to bring players in or possibly retain players. I'm sure they know, but maybe you just want to keep everything positive right now.
Yeah, it is tricky. That's not totally unusual, no. I guess, to see it. What do you think? We were just talking Houston Duke, Fitz. We're all fans of the Houston program and what Kelvin Sampson's been able to do. We talked about this tournament and you know, people are like, oh, the 4-1 seeds made it in. But like these are four of the top 10 KenPom teams that have ever played college basketball. So we're pretty fired up about it, but it's Duke Houston that gets everybody all hot and bothered because it is such a collision of styles, right? Like this is like what gives in this game. We've seen Florida Auburn, but this is, you couldn't have teams be more opposite of each other than this.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, guys. These are two tremendous basketball teams, extremely well coached, great players. And as you said, there's a reason these four teams are in the Final Four. They're loaded. This has been a result of the transfer portal in some ways. You know, you add a piece here, add a piece there, and pretty soon you're pretty good. And whoever just lost those pieces that were added to your team isn't as good. So it's like everything's boiling out and all the talent is settling in at the power schools, which isn't great for the tournament, but it does make for some great basketball. And this Final Four will be that. I'm sticking with Houston. They're not perfect. They are beatable in some ways, but boy, are they very good. When they play at their highest level, nobody's going to beat them.
We would be remiss to not mention the K-State women, of course, falling in the Elite Eight over the weekend against USC, a Juju Watkins-less USC team. It was a fun game to watch. It was, you know, back and forth and a ton of great energy. Ultimately, Jeff Mitty's squad falls a little bit short of making it, to the next round for sure in the women's NCAA tournament. What's next for this program? For, I know, you know, obviously they're losing a couple of key pieces, but what is next for this program?
Yeah, it will be interesting. They've got a lot of rebuild to do, not just key pieces, but, you know, they had a lot of depth also in this senior class. They've had a couple players hit the portal already. And so they're going to be very active in the portal. And the women's portal is evolving now to have a lot of great players in it, but also a little bit of a bidding war on their own context for players. And so NIL is playing a factor over there. I saw a stat, guys, that a full 25% of women's Division One basketball players are in the portal.
What about football? Anything?
On the football front? We got spring football, and it's here. We've had a press conference. It was interesting. I think we're all relieved to have it. Practice starts Friday, and a lot cooking on that front. We'll have it at Go Powercat, though, as we proceed through this shortened spring. Very interesting thoughts.
I have heard, you know, water cooler wise, that Avery Johnson has had opportunity. People have wanted him, and he's turned them down. Like things that you would just be stunned by. He's got a new drink that he's selling at grocery stores up there that's doing really well. But have you heard anything like that? Like, have other teams come calling for Avery?
Well, yeah, Coach Kleiman talked about it at his press conference that, you know, most of his top players have been contacted, not directly by schools, but schools say, hey, we need a quarterback. And they put the word out to the agents who then, you know, start the whole process. It's sickening. It's gross. This shouldn't be going on. But you give coaches an opportunity to prove their team. They don't care if it's ethical or not. They're going to take it. A lot of coaches. These kids are getting inundated with offers. I think it says a lot about the K-State culture that we don't see more players bolting when these offers come rolling in.
How many more years, final thing, how many more years until the portal is settled down, you think? I'm putting it at three more.
Yeah, I think the portal's being fueled by NIL, and I hope RevShare kind of settles some of that down. We'll see. It's been a gold rush for NIL money. I don't blame the kids to try to get theirs. I think once that settles down and hopefully the courts can help get it control this. And I hope Congress or someone can help control college sports because it's on a course that's just absolutely implode at any moment. It's just out of control.
Yeah, it'll get there. We're going to get there. We're going to need help, though. The lawmakers, they're busy right now, I suppose.
Not really.
Yeah.
They just took a vacation.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. All right, Fitz, gopowercat.com. He mentioned a lot of this portal stuff covered there. The spring football news conferences digested there. You can find Fitz at Life of Fitz on X. You and Daphne, get a room, would you?
Yeah, she just went to lay down. Dude wants to go outside. It's not easy being a dog parent.
They're very bossy.
I don't know. They're needy. Like me.
Well,
thanks, boys.
That's true. Thanks, Fitz. We'll do it again soon. Tommy, I don't know about your dogs. Mine, we moved the morning up much earlier for the show now. And it's like the dog's bladder shrunk miraculously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like now all of a sudden the urgency at which I'm bossed around to get outside just moved up 2 hours. They're timed to my alarm. Like the second my alarm goes off, it's like there's a dog in my face.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I got to get outside now. Now.
My dog, if she could sleep 24 hours a day, she would. Yep. So she doesn't get up. Like my alarm goes off and like I come back into the room and my wife and my dog are just passed out on the bed and probably still are, like right now would be my guess.
That'll do it for a Thursday on Sports Daily. Regular programming here on KFH today. Rich Eisen follows us. Jim Rome from 2 to 5. JR Sports Brief and the Infinity Sports Network takes you the rest of the way. No Royals baseball today. It's those, you know, we get into baseball season, you catch a groove, you get a day off and it's like, meh. I don't want a day off from baseball. We just got this thing started, but they'll take one today, I guess.
I really, really like the day baseball, though. I mean, the more the Royals can play during a weekday, I'm on board with that.
I did, too. They'll get a lot of that early in the year while the weather's still cold. So we'll get them back in action Friday. We'll give you a breakdown more basketball-wise, betting-wise on the Final Four as well. For Tommy, for Max, for Fitz, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.